welcome to another week of the Animal House Show. I'm your host, Vicki Graham, and want to say thanks for listening to one of the past shows last week as I was organizing my event. It went extremely well. We had 40 people show up, got a lot of coats, a lot of money, and a lot of scares. We went through a haunted house.
So nice.
That was way cool.
I was wondering about that. I'm wondering how the event went, and B, I'm wondering how come she didn't call us about an hour beforehand to say, hey, we're here, we got an hour left, get down here.
Was I supposed to do that?
No, but you can next time.
Oh, okay. Next time I'll do that then.
Cool.
I'm not planning another event for what? You know how... And I don't get stressed out about anything, but the details of planning events, it's like, holy cow. Did I do this? Did I do that? I obviously bought too much alcohol because I brought a bottle in here for you and I, Len.
Sweet.
Nancy is on the line. Hey, Nance.
Oh, hang on. Oh.
Hey, Nance, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. See, I brought some wine, actually. That would have helped. That would have helped your plague. I'm just saying.
It would have absolutely helped my plague. You're right.
Yeah, and I could have
totally right.
I could have totally stocked you up. I had so much wine, and I'm not a wine drinker, so I have so much wine left from my event last Thursday.
You know, I'm not a huge wine drinker either. I actually like rum and vodka a lot more, so I'm not sure what that says about me.
That you like rum and vodka a lot more. That you're like me. I'm a Tawaka drinker, usually.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Yes, it is. Nice and sweet. Nothing like me at all.
Yep, that's
true. <Exactly. laughs> So,
that joke just won the internet.
That won the internet.
That won the internet. That's good.
Al Gore would be so proud.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we want to thank you for coming on, and this is a critical time for you to get the word out. I know you've been posting, there's articles and not just blogs and TV interviews and everything all over the place because of the issue 2D that's on the ballot for Aurora.
Right. It's been nonstop trying to keep people informed and stay up to date with everything that's happening. It goes a million miles an hour as we draw closer to the time for people to mail in their ballots, which. A quick reminder in Aurora, if you have not mailed in your ballot, make sure to do so by Friday so that it reaches City Hall. They can get it counted. By the 4th, right, so we can get this repealed.
Now, do you have polling places open up there as well?
So they do have polling places open. If people are uncomfortable with a mail-in ballot, they can walk into a polling place, turn in their mail-in ballot, and they can vote. Or if you haven't voted yet, or you're not registered, you can actually go to Colorado Vote online, and you can register to vote, and then go to a polling place and cast your vote.
Okay. Now, you've been on before, Nancy, so explain to people who you are. I mean, why people should be listening to you. I do just because you scare me. No, I'm kidding. You're one of my favorite peeps ever.
Thank you. I love the kind words. I am the founder and director for Colorado Dog, and we are based out of Fort Collins, but we work throughout Colorado, though we aren't in Colorado Springs that much because you ladies down there do such a fabulous job. And we do small-scale rescue. We focus mostly on pit bull-type dogs, a lot of times out of the large-scale fight bus that you hear about. We also do outreach. We do advocacy like repealing BSL and replacing it with breed neutral laws that really are going to protect public safety. Education and outreach. We love outreach. We love getting supplies out to underserved and under-resourced communities so they can keep their pets. And I know that's a huge thing that you're doing too, and I'm thrilled your event went so well.
Oh, yes. I'm thrilled that it went well, too. You try to tell people, register online, buy your tickets online, because I have to pay the venue.
Right,
Of that. And so I'm trying to, hold on. Break. The ladies in here are cheersing, so we have to drink our wine. Anyway, so... I know these important issues.
That's very important.
Yeah. So it went well, and I had about 32 people register online.
Nice.
Five of them couldn't come, so which is good. I mean, I'd love for them to be there, but I mean, we kept all the money. So know.
Right, so, right.
But then there were people who came in, probably about 10 to 15 people who came in, didn't register, handed me checks, handed me cash.
I was fantastic.
Like, oh, crap. I wasn't keeping track this way.
Right, right.
Yeah, but thanks. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you always supporting Coats for Canines as well.
Always.
Yeah, so we definitely, next week have to get together sometime.
I agree.
Especially after the 4th.
After the 4th, I get my life back around the 5th or 6th. And I will have the ability to go out and we will have drinks and I will no longer have the plague. So.
And let's hope they're drinks in celebration.
I hope so. You know, the amazing part of this is I think that even if this repeal was not to go through, we've really changed the conversation about pit bulls in the community, and advocates have come out and done just a tremendous job. They really have. We have had some really horrible things said about us. Blogs have gone out that have been really hysterical. Member Molly Marker.
I was going to call her as the idiot of today. She was like, you are that idiot segment.
Oh,
but you
Molly.
Beat me to it.
Yes. So our hashtag Molly would ban me too is actually trending. It's pretty impressive. So
yes.
I'm so proud of the Colorado advocacy. The community of advocates. They have done a fabulous job. They have stuck to a message, even though people have been really, really outrageously hateful.
Right.
And so we've won in a way anyways, and eventually, even if it doesn't happen this time, like we talk about Rome not being built in a day, we've laid a really solid foundation to come back to this again.
No, definitely. And what people don't, I mean, this is a huge one. Everybody thinks of Colorado as that place that bans pit bulls.
Right.
And that's mostly because of Denver County, and of course Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what people don't know, I mean, they're, I don't know quite the stat. It's something like 15 to 1 more places are repealing bans than they are enacting them.
Right.
You know, because people are becoming educated.
Exactly. And they're also starting to figure out that, you know, it's not looking at a dog and saying this dog is dangerous. That doesn't protect us. It doesn't do anything. Plenty of us live with big, blocky-headed, short-haired dogs.
Right.
And they're lovely dogs and are not out ravaging neighborhoods or anything that hysteria-based websites would want you to believe. And so it's so important that we stop looking at that and we start addressing reckless owners
and
holding them accountable. You know, my dog does not have a moral compass,
and that's
my job.
Yeah, and that's reckless owners for no matter what kind of breed you have. I mean, I have the ladies in here now from Allison and Sarah from Happy Cats Haven, and
uh-huh.
I mean, what would happen if a particular cat breed was banned? I mean, how stupid would that be? Yes,
exactly.
May I just say something here?
Yeah.
Speaking of reckless owners, for us it's more about the owners who don't spay and neuter, and so we end up with feral cat populations. And
mm-hmm.
Right.
there's a parallel between specific breeds who, you know, get demonized and the cats who are out there on the streets trying to survive, you know,
right.
No fault of their own. So, it's all about the owners. It's all about
and they
people.
Are getting stigmatized now. We're seeing a big attack with trap, neuter, and release, too, which is really disheartening.
And that is such a good program.
Oh, a
I know
program.
It's been going on here for a long time and very, very successful.
Yes, it is. We work very closely with the Humane Society here to promote that and to keep it going. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's so funny how people tend to view, certain animals and really give them a stereotype, but I think we see that through every social strata in the U.S. especially, but I mean, I have a very good friend in Australia who works in BSL there, and it's the same arguments that goes across all countries, same fears, and same kind of misinformation.
I mean, just mine, you know, when I saw Miss Molly, there's other words I could use, Miss Molly's, statements, I was thinking, you know, yeah, okay, I have a few tattoos and stuff, but I've never been arrested, so I'm like, what kind of, I know, but that's probably a lot of luck, actually, but I'm like, she doesn't know me, and I swear most of the bully breed owners I see are actually, most of them I see in the Big Advocates are white females.
Yes.
Middle class females.
And you're absolutely right. So the interesting thing about Molly is she has a long sort of history in Aurora as a city council member. She actually was charged with third degree assault, and she assaulted a school staff member. And then pled that down.
And so, she has the nerve to say that about people who own bully breeds?
Yes. She also, when we were at meetings, us and other advocacy groups, would have SWAT show up and go and sit in another room while we spoke. So Molly has some really big stereotypes that she needs to get educated on. I hope she will do that. We're always open to speaking to her. She has an open invitation to come talk to us. She has an open invitation to meet some of the dogs and a lot of the owners. So, I think it's important that when people talk about the stereotypical bully breed owner, what we find is the majority of people who are attracted to bully breeds are not thugs, they're not criminals, they're not stereotypes. Most of them are either, you're right, white women who are middle-aged, or people who really...
Oh, you had to throw the middle-aged in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I said middle-class, but okay. Throw the age thing in there.
I'm vintage, too, in age.
You're vintage.
I'm vintage or retro.
I never said vintage. Jeez.
We say vintage or retro. but it's also, this is a breed who has been, really has been persecuted and stereotyped, and so we find that people who also have been through bullying, who have been marginalized in our communities, tend to really be attracted to these dogs because their plight resonates with them, because they've been through some of the same kind of experiences with people.
I haven't been through any of those experiences. I just like to think that I'm pretty intelligent.
You are incredibly intelligent, yes.
You didn't need to confirm that, because, like I said, I just like to think that.
Don't let your head blow up,
Vicky. Yeah. luckily, you didn't come to the studio. Yeah, see, they've got their eyes on me. They got their Kevlar on.
It was, there you go.
No, it's not bad. My head is one of the smallest ones I can think of, I totally agree. So, you know what? This started, actually, before it even became a ballot measure, you guys went to council first and said, hey, how about just repeal this, basically.
Yes. Jen Bryant actually started that process.
What a wonderful, she is such a wonderful woman.
She's one of our outreach people. She is incredible. Right. And she has a great mind for statistical analysis. She's also really good at going into city council and saying, hey, let's think about this, and really talking with a clear head and great language. So we went to city council with it initially, and things were going fairly well. We had a couple of glitches happen, and they shied away. So I have a very extensive background in LGBT rights and same-sex marriage rights. And we sat in a public safety meeting, and one of the city council members said, why don't we just take it to the ballot? And I thought, okay, here's the turf that we saw repeatedly with other stuff I had done. So I think a lot of it was them shying away. It also was based on a false assumption that if the voters vote it down now, that we don't get to come back to this in 10 or 20 years. And we do. We can come back. We can gather signatures.
How often as you want, correct?
We could come back in 2 years, and as long as we gather the appropriate amount of signatures, we can go to the ballot. And it gives us an actual chance to educate the public more.
Right. Because it wasn't a very long period between council saying, you know what, we're not going to vote on this, let's the voters do it.
Right. They waited to the last second to put it to the ballot, actually.
Right.
So that we had an absolute minimum amount of time to start working on this. And I think that advocates in general have done damn well, to be perfectly honest, given the amount of time we've had.
Yeah.
With a little help from Councilwoman Marker. She's helped our cause a great deal, and some of the other hysterical people.
I know. Those comments have just totally backfired on her. I mean, she could say she could say that about any breed, anybody who owns any breed, or anybody who owns cats, or
exactly,
you know,
exactly. And it was, you know, it's one of the reasons why we're putting a lot of the photos up. We have Molly Markert you know, she very much is involved in the senior community, except what happens when a senior has one of those dogs, then they shouldn't live there and they should have to give up what may be their only best friend and reason for living.
Right. As a matter of fact, I just saw in Stubby Dog a picture of a senior with her dog.
Yes.
Yes.
And Stubby Dog has actually been a fantastic supporter of us.
Right.
Yeah,
once again, it's the hashtag Molly would ban me too.
Yes.
And hashtag Colorado dogs.
Right. Right.
So Colorado with GS at the end.
Right. The best way to explain that for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's been very helpful. You know, I've repeatedly put out publicly that I am willing to discuss this. On TV, on radio, on whatever venue with Colleen Lynn of Dogs Bite.
Sure.
She has declined.
Yeah, well,
repeatedly.
She has pretty much said after that, was it 9 News interview? She is not.
Yes.
They sort of ticked her off, apparently. And she is not doing any more TV, according to her, which is a win for everybody.
It is. And I think it also speaks to how myopic their point of view is. I think that when people are really not open to having a conversation about a subject, that if they're not allowed a soapbox in which to stand with media, then they stop talking.
Right.
So, and we've also always said we want to hear from people who are opposed to this ban. Let's talk about it. If we don't have that dialogue, how do we build that bridge?
Sure.
So that we can resolve some of the fears that are going on, because in the end, all of us want safe communities.
Of
us want dogs running around of any breed biting any child or any person. So
right.
There's commonality in what we want, and we need to figure out how to do that.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, nobody, you know, I was reading some comments on, I think, the Aurora Sentinel, who came out and telling everybody to vote no on it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was reading some of the comments and the dialogues, and I love our advocates, but there are some that tend to go too far.
Yes.
I mean, it's more of a action more than words, basically.
Right.
I mean, showing your pictures, great idea, showing the pictures with the hashtags. But you just can't argue with stupid. You just can't. I mean, I try every day. I run across them. They're out there.
Yes.
You know, they're disguised as normal people. Then all of a sudden, boom, stupid person.
I can't
just say stupid. I mean, a lot of them are stupid, but there's a lot of ignorant people who just don't even bother, who just don't know.
Right, right. And with advocates, too, that's a huge part. I mean, on our website, we talk about advocacy a great deal. And thinking about your language, one of the things that happens in a polarizing issue like this, right, is we both just want to scream and yell until people hear us.
Right.
And nobody's hearing us.
Right.
And it's important to remember that some of these people on the other side have witnessed horrible, horrible traumatic events.
Yes,
including
definitely.
Children dying. And I don't know how you recover from that. I don't have children.
Right.
I can only imagine. I watched my parents and how they've had to process my sister dying of cancer, and she was an adult.
Yeah.
And so at some point, we've got to stop yelling, and we've got to start talking.
Definitely.
And we've got to start being open, and we've got to start using language that has some compassion.
Okay.
Even if they don't.
Yeah.
Even if they don't.
Sure.
We should be showing some kind of compassion.
Exactly.
We should be learning from the dogs that we're trying to protect.
Exactly.
You know.
Len's telling me we need to break, but let's talk about some of that, you know, some of the wording, some of the things that we can do as advocates when we get back.
Perfect.
A new Fit You is waiting to emerge at Phoenix Fitness and Kempo Studio. Hi, I'm Tom, and I have a variety of ways to help you strengthen your body and mind. Whether it's individual personal training, class sessions in martial arts, or my nutrition workshops, I have what it takes to help build self-confidence, learn self-defense, or just blow off some steam. We always all have steam to blow off daily. Classes are available for adults and kids. Just call, click, or come by and let me help you take the first step to a new, healthier you. We're located at 2519 Airport Road in the lower level. You can call us at 719-930-6365 or check out www.tchafer.com. Again, T C Hafer, SEEHAFER.com for more information. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you at Phoenix Fitness and Kempo Studio.
Are you tired of cleaning and want more time that is stress-free? For over 7 years, Clean Castle Service has been doing the nitty-gritty chores in your home or office. Call today for your free consultation and let our staff tailor-fit a cleaning schedule that meets your needs, whether it's weekly cleans to the one-time deep clean. Call 719-323-7155 or visit us at cleancastleservice.com and let our friendly staff serve you. Again, 719-323-7155. That's Clean Castle Service, where you are royalty.
Happy Living Forever gives single men and women new ideas and ways to be in a fulfilling and loving relationship. You receive the exact skill and know-how to have a long-term relationship so you can once and for all escape the dating market and live your own love story. For more information, visit happylivingforever.com. Tune in to the Connection Puzzle Radio Show every month as Suzanne will be hosting her segment, Happy Living Forever. Call into our studio lines to participate and ask questions.
The Party People in Pueblo is a family-friendly place with live entertainment in their theater every weekend with dollar popcorn. Located at 685 South Union Avenue, they have been voted best of Pueblo for places to have a birthday. Check out their website at www.coloradomagician.com or call 719-582-1490 today for more information.
I swear that was a shorter break than usual, Len. It was normal, okay. although Nancy's probably on the line going, okay, are they coming back? What's going on? They're drinking too much wine, something.
That's it.
And I have to say, all four of us in the studio are partaking. So this is...
I feel so left out.
We'll have an extra one for you.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much.
So, like I said, the women from Happy Cat Saving, yo, in the house.
Hi.
Okay, glad you guys are back. You guys have an event coming up. So I figured, what a perfect opportunity. We're talking about the vote that's coming up, or, you know, next week for Aurora. Uh-huh. And your event, it's the Cat to Me Awards?
It is. That's one of our events, actually. But that's the main one.
Yeah, the main one. Yeah. Which one everybody should go to. Yeah. So, see, that is a cute name, huh, Nance?
It was we get your pain. We understand. Mid November, we will be relaxing a little bit more too.
Yes.
We understand that.
Yeah, definitely. Now we were talking about council, or not council, but how to talk to people, how to reply to those that just said. You know what gets me? These people who are just outright against cats or against pit bulls or any bully breeds or Rottweilers, whatever.
Right.
When have they ever owned them? When have they ever, you know, said, okay, you know what? This is, I mean, there's a reason I can't have cats because I'm really allergic. Uh-huh. I mean, and I swell up like if I get scratched, like huge.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I dislike them.
Right.
I just, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm, you know, I'm pretty well knowledgeable on most animals.
Right.
Where do these people get that these, and they have never, ever been around them?
Well, I think when it comes to large breed dogs, because right now what we're seeing is also, so now the new dog in vogue to scream about banning are Rottweilers. I think that in some part it is people who need a cause. And so they're jumping on it because it provides some pretty positive feedback, and we're seeing that online. When there's a tragedy, they will, flock to the internet, and all sorts of vitriol is being thrown around, and all this hysteria, and very, very weird, weird statements about people. I mean, we recently had a blog about us that was so just outer limits. It was insane. But they get feedback. They get positive feedback when they do that from this group. And so they continue to do that. It's a way to seek approval by being on the side of something.
Right.
I think there are some people who come by it honestly. Maybe their only interaction has been with somebody who had a large breed dog who was out of control, and that owner wasn't.
But I find it hard to believe that there's that many people that's happened to.
I think it depends on the area, honestly. There have been some of the feedback we've gotten in Aurora has been that these people voted to keep the repeal because of the interactions they had had with a dog they perceived to be a pit bull. And that's a very important one, because what the media tells us is a pit bull is any dog with a big head and short hair.
Exactly.
Which is a lot of mutts.
Right. That would be me.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. I have long hair now, but before, absolutely.
Yeah, I have the short hair and big head.
Yeah. We should ban you. Molly would ban you too. She would.
You guys wouldn't have quite as many laughs if I was banned. Come on.
I would. But yeah, so there's a psychology behind that kind of stuff. And I mean, you guys run a fabulous advocacy group down there that really works on that. In Fort Collins, you almost never see dogs running at large. In Fresno, where I lived for 19 years, it was a chronic problem.
Sure.
And a lot of that had to do with resources, right? People who couldn't repair their fences, who didn't have access to training, who needed to learn about what a responsible owner looks like, because that can be generational. And so in Aurora, in some of the areas that have more under-resourced communities, that does become a problem. That doesn't mean that dogs are running around injuring people left and right, right? If pit bulls were as inherently vicious as everybody said, there would be no human beings left in under-resourced areas.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know how popular they are. And honestly, half of Fort Collins' population would have been wiped out.
I mean, if they were that vicious, they'd basically be untrainable for these dog fighting rings and everything. It's because they want to please. They just want to please their humans.
I agree. And having worked with, we took some of the bus dogs from the Oneida triple murder fight bus stuff in Oneida, Idaho.
Right.
One of the dogs from the 367 bus lives down with you guys, and she's very involved with Southern Colorado Pitbull Advocate. Mm-hmm. And is going to start working on her CGC. And what we find with these dogs when we bring them in, and it's a message that we need to get out more, is these dogs are not fighting because they're vicious. These dogs are fighting because they love their owners.
Exactly.
And the majority of the time, when you pull these dogs out of that environment and they get to make a different choice, they're going to do it.
Oh, of course.
So there's a lot of messaging we use with pit bulls that needs to stop. When we bring up things like fighting, when we bring up negative comments, even if we mean to be positive, the human brain holds on to negative. So when you say fighter, even if you say my dog used to be a fighter and now it's a lover, they're going to see fighter pit bull.
Right.
So a lot of our messaging also needs to change so we can be more helpful to our dogs. And there's a vernacular we've been using for a long time in advocacy, and we need to kind of suss out what is working and what is not, and start changing how we talk about our dogs.
Well, I know for, a fact, you and I have discussed it before, and uh-huh. and many, there are many people that know that one reason, say, Denver has not done anything is because there are people on Denver City Council that are holding grudges because of advocates not acting the way they should.
Yes.
And they are holding on to the ban because of spite.
Yes, and it does. So when I posted recently a picture, and it was on Colorado Dog. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it was a supporter who called me out on it. I took a little dig that was negative towards Councilwoman Marker. And I didn't need to do that. I could have kept it classy.
Sure.
But what it did was it brought on this whole group of people who went on the attack and were cussing. They were threatening. They were doing all these kind of things. None of them actually lived in Colorado.
Sure.
And we actually had to go back. I had to start moderating the page. I put up a couple warnings, and I started deleting, and I started
being accused of
First Amendment right violations, and
I have to say, the city council down here has been very positive, not just, with the group, but, when there was a man down here that was attacked by a dog, he kept threatening to go, and he did contact city council members, and, uh-huh. Every single one of them, except for one, called me back within an hour and a half when I left messages for him, saying, I just want to know where you stand. So we knew our next course of action, and all of them were like, this is not a government thing. You right. know, and it's true. It is not right for the government to tell you, you know, what kind of family members or pets that you could have.
Exactly.
I mean, unless we're talking like the danger, you know, like wild animals and stuff. But that's usually federally regulated and state regulated.
That's an issue you're in your old state of Ohio, isn't it?
Yes. Well, they've gotten a lot better.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
They've gotten a lot better.
And you're right. It's not the government's job to tell us what breed of dogs we can own. What the government can do is help legislate so that dangerous, not even dangerous dogs, so that reckless owners, because, again, it's about moral compass, right?
Right,
my
exactly.
dog, Bodhi, goes and eats poop. It's not his job to decide that poop is not good to eat. It's my job to make sure it's picked up, right?
Exactly.
The same kind of thing. My dog needs to be on a leash. They need to be spayed or neutered. You know, we need to get them into training, but we need to provide those resources for people
yeah.
who need them also. So
yeah.
the government's job is to help with public safety, and we don't do that by banning breeds. And every professional organization with peer-reviewed empirical data, and that's very important,
right,
is not for BSL and will repeatedly come out and say
exactly.
it does not provide for public
instead
safety.
You have the people like Colleen Lynn whose story
right.
changed three times about her attack.
Right.
You know, people like that getting dogs bait together, and that unfortunately that's the first thing that comes up when you Google it. And
right.
that there is not any one reliable stat on there.
There's not. And you know, Merrick Clifton is who is the one that they always like to go to. He has no scientific training. You know, I have 2 degrees. One is in microbiology, one is in environmental health, which is a public health degree,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, tortures you with a lot of epidemiology and a lot of statistical stuff. He would not pass a staff 101 course in college. He simply wouldn't. When you look at his data, it's horrific. But what Colleen Lynn is really good at is marketing and social media, and you know, as much as I'm sure this could get me in trouble, she's really good at being a predator, and she's really good at going after people when they are at their most vulnerable.
Right.
And honestly, a lot of the members in that group, including Jeff Borchardt, who has really, you know, had a field day with us this past week, I have a tremendous amount of compassion for, because they have really experienced some trauma. The person I can't stand is Colleen Lynn.
Who takes advantage of that.
She goes right in and she predates on them.
Right.
And that is really, really a horrific behavior. And people should be allowed to heal from those moments. And, I mean, you and I have talked about it, Vicki. I experienced a very bad dog bite. I ended up hospitalized,
mm-hmm.
ended up in surgery. What I needed was for people to be supportive and let me cry and let me process and let me get through that.
Not try to manipulate your emotions
right.
while you're going through.
Not
yes.
somebody coming to run into me and say, you know, write your story, tell it, I'm your best friend, let me use you for fundraising and to get my message out there.
Exactly, so, exactly. But, you know, there are more and more people who know what she's doing and do not support.
Yes.
I mean, she's losing support.
Yes.
I mean, a lot quicker than she ever has, I believe.
I think that you're right. Most of her likes on Facebook, as of late, have actually come out of Turkey. So with the Turkish people, they like her, apparently.
what the hell
but,
is that
but
about?
People here, right, they're starting to reject that. And, you know, there's some desperation. So Jeff Borchardt and his group Daxton's Friends, which is named after his child, but is very much a, you know, a breed ban place.
Right.
Website is putting a half-page ad in the Aurora Sentinel, which is actually naming all of the children and people who have been attacked by dogs this year and killed.
Now, is that including other dogs?
That does include other dogs. You know, the Aurora Sentinel, we called them several times to talk about ad placement, and they never called us back, which is not surprising. But he doesn't offer, there are no solutions in that. You know, it is simply a shock type of advertising.
Right.
And the reality is, you know, Colleen Lynn is behind a lot of that, and she's behind the other smaller ads in the Denver Post. But public safety, again, has nothing to do with looking at a breed of dog.
Yeah,
and there's no solution.
I do have to say
offered.
I see a lot more positive comments than I do negative whenever any of those ads go up.
Yes,
or when
agreed.
Blogs
agreed.
Or article, or so-called articles, whatever, are up.
Right, and we do actually, so we have a full-page ad coming out, too,
yeah,
on the 30th in the Denver Post, and it was funded by supporters. We put it out there, and we said, you know, let us get some real information up there. Supporters can decide this is how much the ads cost. Within 45 minutes, they had funded a full-page color ad.
Wow.
Yeah, it was impressive, and so, you know, we're going to put that up. We're going to put up the research stuff from the AVMA. And we're going to talk about what safe communities really look like and why BSL doesn't work. And like Molly Markert said again, you know, for her, it's not about facts. It's about a feeling. But you don't get to ban dogs. You don't get to ban people. You don't get to marginalize, you know, societies or communities in your world because you have a feeling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If I had a feel, if I did something about, you know, every time I had a feeling.
Oh, no kidding, right?
Or all of us. Could you imagine what it was? You know what I get? I've always gotten upset about this, and I say it to people all the time. There are those that will sit and just bitch and post on, and this, it's politics. I mean, I see it about Obama all the time. But whether you're, you know, left, right, or in the middle, you know, you post something, there are people who constantly post those things. And just like Colleen Lynn and some of the other ones that will constantly post these negative things. But yet half these people sit in front of their computer and actually don't do anything.
Right.
It's like, when was the last time you ran for a political office?
Exactly.
When was the last time you owned, you know, were owned by a dog?
Right,
When was the last time you went into a shelter and helped out?
Right, right.
You know, it's like, shut up already. If you have not, if there's no action behind your words at all, shut up.
You say it so much more eloquently than I do. That's so funny. So one of the funniest things we had was, you know, when people just got on and they were being really awful on Colorado Dog's page. And you know me, I'm very big at keeping it positive, and I will moderate the hell out of my page.
Right. But you also tell it like it is sometimes.
I do, absolutely. Absolutely. We had people coming on, and we had a couple of people who flamed Obama. And I was like, what?
Exactly.
You're on a pickle
exactly.
page. Why are you flaming Obama? So it's opportunistic. That kind of bullying is very opportunistic.
It's not even bullying. I mean, how could it be bullying when it's so stupid? Exactly.
Not
when it's
bullying.
When it's so funny.
It's like
how in the hell does Obama get into this?
Right. Why would you post there? It doesn't make any
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Like, did you miss the GOP page and you accidentally posted on us? I mean, it was really bizarre.
I mean, these are the same kind of people that listen to Dogs Bite, or the same kind of people that believe everything in the Onion, you know?
Right, I mean, yes.
Or total satire. And it's,
or think that Ebola is going to wipe us all out today.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the same. It's the same kind of stuff. And
because they have nothing better to do all day than sit online. And it's, you know, that commercial. Well, it's on the internet. It has to be true. You know, one of those
right,
things.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. It has been a very interesting week. I mean, we have been accused of being puppy brokers, of breeding.
Really?
Of bringing in dogs from California so that pit bulls die in the shelters here. Now, this was by an anti-pit bull group. I won't even say their name because I refuse to give them any credibility at all. Who actually said, you know, they care so much about pit bulls that pit bulls in shelters are dying because they're bringing in dogs from California. My first thought was, why wouldn't that make you happy if it were true? It's not true, but suddenly you're concerned about pit bulls in local shelters?
Yeah, okay, I have to say something about our Humane Society here, Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region. I went in there, not this weekend, the weekend before. There was not one adoptable pit bull, because all of them had adopted on it, all of them had choice hold on it, or they were waiting for their owner.
Right.
There was not... My daughter and I thought we'd go in and visit with a couple just to play with them and stuff. And there
no
pit bulls for me. All they had were chihuahuas. There were tons of chihuahuas in the Humane Society.
Yes.
And not one available pit bull that we can actually... And so people are adopting them. And And it's like, okay, we have the same people down here that are always say, well, I'm not going to take this dog, or don't take it to the Humane Society because it'll get killed. That's not what they do.
No, that's not their goal.
Colorado has a really high live release rate. You know, except for a few shelters. Aurora being one of them when it comes to pit bulls, which is a whole nother show.
Sure.
You know, we have a very high live release, and we have a very small amount of puppies that are available for adoption at any given time. And so while I'm not a fan of shipping in 125 dogs, that's an issue.
Right.
We have, you know, partners in California, since I'm from California, who we trust a great deal. And when we have, you know, a little bit of space and we know that we can find these puppies' homes, then we're going to say yes. But we're never going to say yes more than to a litter of puppies. But, you know, it was taken, it was plastered around, there were all sorts of crazy things, you know. We've been called a terrorist cell. That was pretty both amusing and insulting.
Because you're a terrorist cell under Obama.
We're a terrorist cell under Obama. That's what we're actually doing. But yeah, some of the things that were said were just, you know, people said, are you bothered? Are you hurt? You know, I'm not, because I have to consider the source. And I also know that in the end, what we're here to do is advocate for people who need help.
Exactly.
And advocate for these dogs. And so
exactly.
All of the vitriol that's gone on for the past week has been this huge distraction for them.
Right.
But for us, we just keep on keeping on. You know, one of the biggest messages for advocates that are out there is think before you hit send. And if you're not okay with your mama seeing it, it shouldn't be posted. So
my mom would be like, how come you didn't add this word?
No. Oh, man. My mother would go, Nancy.
My mom wouldn't, but she supports whatever I do. So
my mom is incredibly proud, and honestly, initially when I said the word pit bull, she went, what? And was completely freaked out. At the same time, in the same sentence, she said, you know, the nicest dog I ever met was the pit bull. And I said, okay, thinking process.
My mom always didn't always raise, but I grew up with wolf hybrids.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, same thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and my mom had rescued a rattlesnake before, and, you know, raccoons, and, I mean, just, you know, people bring her wildlife if they
That's
need
awesome.
To be rehabbed.
That's
but,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, come on, wolf hybrids, you know, I'm just like, yeah, okay, oh, and Akitas, she has some Akitas and Chow Chows, and so I'm
so
like,
she has all those horrific breeds.
I know those bad, bad dogs.
Yes.
But so people need to vote yes on 2D in Aurora.
You need to vote yes. If you are looking at your ballot, it is the last thing you will see at the very, very far corner. It's very tiny.
Okay,
so
and it's
sure
just it's just like one
that.
Sentence, is it not?
It is one sentence. Shall the people of Aurora allow pit bulls back in their community? Is basically, it's that simple.
Right.
And it's yes or no. So you want to check yes. And you want to make sure to mail that thing in. I voted a couple of times, and then all of a sudden the day comes around and I'm like, wait a minute, what is that sitting on my desk? So please take that final step and mail it in.
Yes, yes, definitely. And we urge everybody to vote, period. But, of course, being the Animal House show here, I mean, you know, a ballot initiative like this, we need to, or ballot question like this, I should say, definitely need to get our vote on.
Yes, and if you're in Larimer County, a quick plug, you need to vote yes on 200 because it provides funds to build the new shelter up here in Larimer County.
Okay.
Humane is
terrific.
Incredible.
Okay. Well, how could people get a hold of you if they have questions? Because we're going to need to take a break. Never mind. Lynn's saying we don't need a break. She's like, we're just talking through it. Our advertisers are awesome, I just have to say.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
But, yeah, so how do they get a hold of you?
So they can get a hold of us. They can either go to our website, which is www.coloraddogs.org. The new website just launched, so go check it out. There's a little bit of glitchy stuff. Stick with it. Press a bunch of buttons, and it'll work itself out. We hope to have it resolved in a couple days. They can email us at coloraddogs1@gmail.com.
Okay.
And we do have a phone, but we prefer people not call us. just because I tend not to answer it most of the time.
Okay. Is that now or just up until the election?
No, that is all the time.
Oh, okay, all the time. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, good to know. Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on. You could stay on and talk to the Happy Cats ladies. Because they're going to. Yeah, because they're going to tell us about Academy Awards.
Awesome.
I love that. Colorado Dogs, Academy Awards.
We're all so clever, aren't we?
I know. Can you pass me the wine? Okay.
Okay, not that clever. All right.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Well, we're very excited to be members of IndieGive again. We're handpicked, one of 76 innovative mostly little nonprofits like us. And they support this campaign at the end of the year. It's a time when a lot of people consider giving to the nonprofits that they believe in, and what we're doing is finding a way to give back to those who give to us with our events. So the Academy Awards is one. It's a gala, dessert buffet, and cat themed cocktails, and paparazzi. Yeah, right. Okay.
That kind you of had me at dessert.
Good. I was going to say, she started with that, and then right after that was cocktails.
Exactly.
God, everybody should be in.
Got to get that out, yeah. Red carpet, you can glam it up, and we've got trivia contests, and, of course, silent auctions with really good stuff. We've got some really good stuff. A live auction, and what am I missing, Allison? Oh, the photo booth.
Yep, we're having a photo booth.
Yeah. So it'll be really great. It's going to be on the 15th of November at Venue 515 in Manitou, which is 51, oddly enough, 515.
No, I think I saw something that you're limited, only 120 people or something.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. So give us a call for an RSVP, and we'll give you a free drink pass to get started. Yeah, now we're talking, right?
Okay, Nance,
right?
You call, I'll call. Just use my name anytime.
No. Come down.
Yeah, come
we'll start
on down,
people
Nancy.
On the street to call. Vicki and I have 10 drinks a piece.
Exactly.
Maybe not quite that many.
Okay.
Anyway, that's our main event. We're going to
have live music.
Oh, yeah. With Bradio and the Hopeful Romantics, a local band that does wonderful stuff.
Oh,
and
I've never heard of them.
They adopted from us, too.
Yeah, they did,
adopted a wonderful kitty.
Nice.
From us.
Nice.
Great stuff. So it's going to be a really good time. Really good time.
And what's the number they call then?
719-635-5000.
Can they RSVP online as well?
No. No.
Okay, so call the number. But the event information.
They could send an email to the office at happycatshaven.org address.
Yeah, that's true.
They did that last year, so it's doable. But we don't have a, ticker button.
Because you guys answer your phone more than Nancy does, apparently.
Yes, but I bet you do.
We might start your philosophy, though, Nancy.
I'll tell you what, if you heard some of the stuff I heard on my voicemails, you would stop answering.
Nothing like positive punishment, huh? On that.
Yes, kidding.
Exactly.
No kidding.
No, good. So, November 15th, part
November
of IndieGive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And how much are the tickets?
They're free because it's a
fundraiser.
Benefit. Yeah, right.
It's an IndieGive event. So, the IndieGive events are free. Obviously, you're asking the people who come to make a donation to IndieGive for your nonprofit.
Right.
And, it also gives you a chance to showcase what we do and how we do it. And just, for those who might not know what we do, we want them to come and learn. So.
And IndieGive's really great because you get great rewards with your donations.
Right.
It's like
definitely.
Public radio. You get all this cool stuff,
Nice.
Really, like beer and here we go drinking again, right?
Beer and we have issues.
No, we don't.
Beer and burgers and trips to the Broadmoor and a workout with Matt Carpenter and something with Justin Armour. I can't remember what it is. But there's all kinds of really neat stuff with IndieGive. And if you donate to, I think it's three or five organizations.
I think it's five
organizations.
Oh, yeah, you get a chance to enter the car. A vehicle,
A Subaru.
I always do that, and I never win.
I don't either.
Who the hell's the panel? No, I'm kidding.
I may win a roller skater, a skateboard, but that's about it.
Yeah,
transportation.
That's not bad. Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool, especially downhill.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true.
There you go.
All our tables will be cat themed movies. So
we're going
to give away a few. I think we're doing Cats on a Hot Tin Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And,
nice.
Aristocats. And I think we're talking about Hocus Pocus and some of the older films.
Oh, wait a second. Hocus Pocus isn't that old?
Wait a second.
How old? What is my age?
What old classics, too.
Yeah. I was like, you're talking Hocus Pocus with like Bette Midler, right?
Yeah,
right.
Bette Midler and yeah. Sarah.
That's probably 20 years ago, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay, well, that's not that old. Jeez, Allison.
It's vintage.
20 years is pretty damn old, Vicky, for crying out loud.
I'm like, God, I see it come across my, you know, on demand and stuff. I'm like, I know, I always like that movie, you know?
Well, good. You'll be able to win the trivia contest.
Oh.
There you go.
Jeez.
But we're also kicking off and to give the week before, the Friday on the 7th, I think it is, yes. with our friends Aubrey Rescue and Training.
Great.
And Harley's Hope Foundation. Yeah, we're doing an event with them at a gallery downtown under the bridge, the AHA Galleries and Kreuzer Gallery.
Yes. So Aubrey has been there quite a bit on their first Fridays. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a holiday art market, and we are going to have kittens available. So,
nice.
It'll be really, you know, just another way to give back and have a good time.
How many animal organizations are part of IndieGive this year?
I think it's 5.
Oh, that's
all
a little
together.
Bit. That's yeah, a little
one,
bit down. Is that
more,
a little
no,
bit...
no, one more than last year. I think
really?
There were only 4 of us last year. Yeah,
I thought there were like 6 last
six.
Year.
Is it 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
That was 20
okay.
years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was whatever.
Exactly.
It's retro information.
So we're just we love our other animal organizations, and we work pretty closely with them.
And actually, I have to say, they sometimes get more money than most other organizations.
Well,
that
last
are,
year, the Humane Society got the most money.
It
was like $63,000.
Yeah, they did very well.
And all the animal rescues did great last year.
Yeah, is Humane Society on there again?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep.
But all the animal rescues do really well. There's going to be an event at Bristol Brewery, and you know, where you get to vote for the nonprofits that you want to support and donate a certain amount of money to each group, whoever's, you know, in the top categories. And the animal rescues.
Last
just,
year, the animal rescues
yeah, because,
took that.
I'm sorry, people like animals more than like people. They just do.
I
don't like any of you. I just like my dogs. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm kidding.
I also think and that, I'm hanging up.
I love y'all. I love you all.
I just think that our whole area, this whole regional area, is just such a strong, positive, you know, advocacy for animals and for the love of animals. You know, we are just blessed to have wonderful groups that work together to, you know, make things better for the animals.
Surprisingly, even with BSL, Colorado gets voted or in the top 10 list usually of best places if you own a pet.
Yeah,
Denver got voted one of those. And
I know. I was like, how the hell did that happen?
I always find that really amusing. I mean, in Denver, you know, Denver Animal Shelter's Defense, they're doing a fantastic job trying to get these dogs safe.
Sure.
Any of the pit bulls that come in. But yeah, it was that was fairly entertaining to see that. Talk about some cognitive dissonance that lives on
exactly.
in the minds of people.
Exactly.
Right.
They even said, like, on Match.com or something, they did a survey, animal lovers tend to get more messages or more, you know, likes from the opposite sex than...
Chick magnets.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
The chick magnets, exactly. Actually, I've said this before, Mike, my husband, you know, we met on Match. The first message he sent to me, he said he asked about the dogs and the ferrets. It was the first thing he did.
Aww.
And I was like, okay, dude, I'm answering this guy.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> like, he asked about the animals first, not about my boobs, not about, you know, whatever. You know, are those your real boobs?
I'm not sure my partner would have married me if she had known what she was getting into with me. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my husband might agree with you on that one, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying he... Well, no, I guess... Because he had 2 dogs he brought in, so... I don't know
marriage.
If he knew what he was getting into. He moved in quite quickly. We moved quite quick, and he just sort of immersed himself.
Wow.
Yeah. Our last foster we got from All Breed. It was one of the fire dogs from Black Forest Fire. Actually, that is his. She listens to him. That she goes to him. You know, but then again, it's a female.
One of my foster failures is my husband's cat too. So yeah, we got to do a shout out for our spousal units for supporting us in these endeavors, because really it can be a tough world to be in, and we give it all with our hearts and our souls, and thank heavens for our support systems.
Yeah, and you and Mel have been together, what was it, like 7 years now or something?
We've been together, we're going on 8 years, and we were able to finally get married last year in July. We flew out to San Francisco the minute it was legalized, especially since I had worked so many years in California to help accomplish that, and she is a very pragmatic, very scientific and artistic German, and this is a really rough.
She always mentions the German.
There's a lot to be said about that. She's a very private person, and you know these jerks actually stole one of our wedding photos recently and put it on their blog and cut it in half and plastered her face up there and. It's been really bad. We have attorneys. That's what I will say about that. She has been incredibly gracious and just really solid through all of this. But that's what I mean. If she had known when she married me, she may have been like, there's got to be somebody else out here.
Yeah, so definitely a shout out to our spouses and significant others for putting up with all our shit. We appreciate it.
True that.
And, awesome. So we have the vote in Aurora coming up, Larimer County, and then the Academy Awards and the whole thing at, you said, Bristol?
The 7th? Art Walk, November 7th.
Galleries. 15th. Gotcha.
Bristol Things in December.
Right.
Just check the website out, happycatshaven.org, and get all the information.
And since Nancy ruined it and already gave away our idiot of the day, we're not going to do that segment.
Sorry.
But don't forget to post your photos and hashtag Colorado Dogs and Molly Would Ban Me Too. Is that what it is?
Uh-huh. Molly Would Ban Me Too.
Yes. And
if you go
and
on
two
Colorado
is T-O-O
Dogs,
for the people. T-O-O. Yes. Okay.
If you go on our Facebook site, you will see it trending, and we got it.
So Lynn and I were talking about Hootsuite. Use Hootsuite. Post them on every single social media site you have.
Yes.
And I want to thank you guys for coming in. Thanks for sharing
the wine. Thanks for having us.
And thanks. I will get with you after this vote, and hopefully it's a celebratory drink there, Nance.
Heck yes.
So, okay. Once again, this is the Animal House Show with CosmicBroadcasting.com, and we'll catch you next week.